Well, you may find your seats. Get your Bibles. And turn with me to the fourth chapter of John's Gospel. John chapter 4. There's a subject matter that the Lord is leading me to work with. I'm going to start in the 21st verse. You know, it's about the story of the woman at the well. But there's an aspect I want to talk about. And then God showed me five things quickly to tell you before I start preaching. Then verse 21, in the conversation, verse 20. The conversation went into another setting, and I'll tell you about it in a minute. Our father worshiped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Now, notice the word worship will be used many times here. I got a definition for it. Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father." Say, worship the Father. Then in the 22nd verse, he said that ye worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Now the 23rd verse is very particular here about what the Lord is about to minister to us about, and about sometime when your prayer not seem like they're working, worship will get a breakthrough for you. 23rd verse said, but the hour cometh and now is. Now that's the hour cometh and now is. You know that? The hour cometh. Then he said, and now is. How many of y'all see that in your Bible? You got to pay attention to that. The hour cometh, you know, so you don't be waiting on coming. He said, then now is. All right. Now is what's the opposite of true? When the true worshipers shall worship the Father in flesh and in truth. For the Father, well, look at this. Notice this. Oh, I'm going to preach today. Notice this. For the Father seeketh. That means he can't find him everywhere. Such to worship him. How? Those that worship him in what? Spirit and in truth. And then verse 24 sums it up. God is a spirit. And they that worship him, must. Look at that word, must. Say must. What must mean? No other way. Must worship him in spirit and truth. Five things Jesus taught me about the woman at the well that I want to give you at the beginning. I'll tell you what happened. I came here and I had a gray suit on. I saw all the ushers had a gray suit on, so I went back home, changed clothes. And while I went back home, changed clothes, when I was coming back, the Lord told me, nothing wrong with the boy shout, but nothing wrong with me when I'm not an usher. So I just changed clothes. And so, see, I ain't had to tell you that, but I just tell you that. That's the way I am. But on the way back, the Lord said, I'm going to teach you five. If I wouldn't have went changed clothes, I already got the outline for the message, but he had five things he wanted to tell me that we can apply to our lives about this lesson of Jesus dealing with this woman at the well. You got to read the whole context of it to see that he went through Samaria on purpose because he wanted to meet that woman at the well, and she had some things in her life he had to deal with, all right? But five things Jesus taught that woman at the well. He talked about a wayward life and living. She had a wayward life and living. She was living a wayward life, a life that wasn't conducive to a life of somebody who can walk with Jesus, all right? Secondly, he revealed to her that her life was worth more than she had. He revealed to her, your life is worth more than you have. It means you had five husbands, and one she stayed with now wasn't a husband. And so Jesus revealed to her, and he want to reveal to us today, your life worth more than you have. Now, in her case, she was in sin, but yet there are a whole lot more God want us to have. Wave your hand at me if you're willing to go there. Then he revealed a third thing to her, Lord. She said she had to be willing to change. Are you willing to change? See, you got to be willing to change. You're not going to get where you're going unless you're willing to change. Talk to me. See, I've made a lot of changes. I'm ready to change me. I'm still changing. And then he taught her about the living water. You remember he told her, I got a well. I got water you can drink. And she was willing to drink. But the fifth thing is what we're going to deal with this morning. You can look at it and don't see this. He taught about a wayward life. He taught about her life worth more. He taught about her being willing to change. And see, these principles need to be throughout our lives to know the difference. He taught about the living water. But the fifth thing he taught her, the Holy Ghost told me on my way driving back, he taught her about live breakthrough worship. Yes, sir. Live, not just pretending, live breakthrough worship. And so what I want to deal with this morning, what I want to deal with from that text and from that 20, let's read that 23rd and 24th verse again. And I want you to read it with me. I want to give you a definition of worship. Then I'm going to break into how to take worship to another level. How to take worship in a congregation to another level, how to take your personal worship to another level. That's a way to take it to another level. That's a way to take it to a level beyond emotion, mm-hmm. beyond tears, beyond just jumping and running. All that, I mean, you get excited, that's part of it, but that's not it. True worship, you haven't got there yet. You haven't got there yet unless you get something else. And so here, let's read. I want you to read with me. The 23rd and the 24th verse. I want you to listen, the 23rd and 24th. Listen as you read. Ready? But the hour cometh, come on, and now is when the true worshiper, pause. Underline that. True worshipers. We're going to take up a shell. Shell is a strong word too, you know. Shall worship who? In what? And in what? For what? Verse 24, God is what? And? What must what? Now we're talking about how to take worship to another level. How to take worship to another level. Worship, let me give you some definition of worship. Worship lead us into the presence and glory of God that he may manifest himself. In other words, it ain't about you. Worship, it ain't about you. Worship lead us into what? The presence and glory of God that he may manifest himself. Amen. Amen. Worship shows us who he is because we are connected with him. Come on, talk with me. Worship shows us what is rightfully ours. Heaven open. And you begin to see real worship open heaven where you can see what rightly belongs to you. Are you talking to me? I say, are you talking to me? Worship, and here's another aspect of worship. Worship means to humble oneself and to submit. You cannot worship unless you're humbled and submitted. Yes, sir. That's true. Yes, sir. No way. It means to bow down or to prostrate oneself before God to do him honor and reverence. To do him honor and reverence. Not honoring yourself, to do him honor and reverence. All right. You got that? Now, Worship is important. How many of y'all believe worship is important? But right worship is even more important. That's what Jesus said to her, isn't it? He said, they that worship me, don't come playing around me in flesh. I'm a spirit. Don't come trying to show me your talent. I'm a spirit. It takes more than talent to worship God. Y'all talk to me over here. Now, let me help you. Let's go to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. I came here to preach today. Because the Lord spoke to me. And I've been around a while, man. I know when the Lord wants to get something in. I know when somebody can't get a breakthrough through prayer. If they learn how to worship. The woman in the 15th chapter of Matthew couldn't get her breakthrough through prayer. I'm like, let me show you that for you. Go to 15th chapter of Matthew. She couldn't get her breakthrough. She had prayed, she had said, and she had stayed. But finally, the Lord showed her how to get Jesus' attention. I ain't got time to be playing around with no worship. Listen. This thing is too powerful. Listen. Wait a minute. That woman, 15th chapter of Matthew. Let me see, can I find this woman here? She's messing around there and she's trying to get a hold of Jesus. All right. The 25th verse. 25th, she had prayed already. Let me show you. Can I show you something? How many of y'all need a breakthrough? Huh? All right, can I show you something? All right, here we go then. Here we go. And verse 22, you got to see this. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thy son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And the disciple came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she cries after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but Jesus said, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Woman, shift gear. I said, she shift gear. She knew something about worship. Do you know anything about worship, man? That's what I had as a pastor. I got to teach you some things about worship, because sometimes you're going to need to shift a gear. How many of y'all ready to shift a gear? Then she came. Verse 25. Then came she and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. Help me. She worshiped him. She probably put her hands in the air and probably bawled her heart in his presence and acknowledged, I need you. You don't need me. I need you. And God heard our worship, and then her child got delivered. That's not my lesson, but you read it yourself. But after that, she got God's attention. And worship gets God's attention. Real worship, real praise, bring God on the scene. Now I go to Ephesians 5. I want to stop by there. The glory going to hit this place. Let's see how much time I got you. Hallelujah. I came here to preach this morning. Yeah. When the enemy stick his head up, I preach harder. Ephesians 5, verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalm and hymn and spiritual song, singing and making melody into your heart. Yes. To the people? No. I see. To who?
To the Lord.
Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's true worship, true praise there, partner. Uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh. I'll show you something else. Turn to 2 Chronicles. Turn to 2 Chronicles. Now, we're really about to see something here now. Tell your neighbor, you're really about to see something here now. Tell them you're really about to see something you want to experience. Get man out the way. Get woman out the way. And let God come in. Get all these superstars out the way. And let the Holy Ghost be the superstar. That's who I need. Yeah, you're going to see something here now. 2 Chronicles. Oh yeah. You're going to see something here now. You about to see something here now. In 2 Chronicles chapter 5. Verse 12 said, and also the Levite, which was the singer, all them of Asaph and of Heman, of Judah, with their sons and their brethren, being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries and harp, stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests sounding with trumpet. Now, verse 13, watch what happened here in real worship. It came even to pass as the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpet and the cymbals and the instrument of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Say it, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. That then the house was filled with a what? Even the house of the Lord. You listening? Watch the 14th verse now. So that the priest could not stand the minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. True worship attracts the glory. The glory contained in it everything God can do. You didn't hear that? When the glory come, it contained within itself everything that God can do. In other words, God come in his glory, everybody get an answer. Everybody get blessed. Everybody get set free. You see, the glory is the actually presence of God, his demonstration, his creation, his manifestation is in his glory. When you worship him right, the glory come down to produce the supernatural that don't respect nothing, change all impossibilities into possibilities. When the glory come, that's why it's important. You are important. Those of you who praise, those of you who worship, those of you who play the instrument, you are important in the house of God. You have to get yourself right so you can bring the glory down that even sometimes the preacher can't preach. When you do it right, the glory is sure to show up. Nobody leaves sick. Nobody leaves broke. Nobody leave unhappy. Nobody leave with no problem. The glory has come. The Lord revealed to me what's happening. What's happening is emotion and presupposed talented people is blocking the glory with their emotion. And the people of God is suffering by being entertained and not really worshiping God, and then never get into that presence, and then leave a lot of time because the preacher is stunted by the praise. Instead of creating the atmosphere, the praise and worship have messed the atmosphere up with a bunch of self, a bunch of flesh, a bunch of emotion, and then now the preacher may have had the glory, but when he comes, the atmosphere is so stanky, he can't get the perfume out. That's That's why I believe that the worship in this church is going to another level, meaning that the people of this church, I can't speak for every church, but the people of this church is going to another level. You know what? I got enough matured praisers in the praises to know I know what I'm doing. They've been with me for years. They know I know what I'm doing. I got enough instrument players here. They know I know what I'm doing. I'm digging in the spirit world to get us to another level. God wants us more blessed than we are. I told you I came here to preach today. God wants us more blessed. We got to stop blocking our own blessing with flesh. Come on, you talk to me. These superstars got to go. Number one superstar here, and I'm not the superstar. Jesus. Jesus is the superstar here. Are you listening to me? Watch this. Sit down. Let me tell you something about worship. Let me tell you something. Among the most powerful spiritual warfare weapon is a believer disposal in the corporate time of praise and worship. Worship is a weapon. I'll show you that further in Chronicle when Jehoshaphat had his problem. I'm going to show you what worship can do. I'm going to show you what real praise can do. They ambush the enemy. That's what it does. When Christian exalt God in order to focus their attention on him, you exalt God to focus your attention on him, not them. Get in the way and out of the way. Watch this. Oh, you got your seat back on? Improper worship is Satan's greatest weapon to deceive a church from her full spiritual potential by giving a substitute for the real things of God. I'm going to get that again. Listen. Improper worship. That's what got Satan's tail kicked out of heaven. He thought he could take God playing. He must could have sing a little bit or play music a little bit. Then he thought he was greater than God and everybody else. And God said, wait a minute. You out of here. You not worshiping me. You worshiping yourself. Talk to him over here. Improper worship. See, now, as an apostle, God have called me to straighten worship out. We got to straighten this out in the church. We got to get all these little slinging things going out and just trying to be popular. We got to pop your tail, get you straight. That I want to hear from God. I ain't got time to be hearing from you. I want to hear from God Almighty. He got my answer. Now, if you think you're going to stay and do it, take your tail and carry your crap somewhere else. If you can't stand my discipline as a pastor, get up the road. Goodbye. And I'm on one pastor in this church. Yes, I'm the pastor. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Absolutely. Everybody else who think they're a pastor in this church, they're a bastard. Uh-huh. They're out of spiritual order. Improper worship, Janet, is Satan's greatest weapon to deceive a church from her full spiritual potential by giving a substitute for the real things of God. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching good now. I'm almost through. Here's something that we need to say. By emptying yourself that he can fill you with himself. But if you never empty self, that's why Luke 9:23 said, deny yourself. See, you to worship God, to worship God, to praise God, you got to be empty of yourself. Yourself is blocking God. Now, here is a mark of real worship. You want to see a mark of real worship? Open your Bible to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. You want to see some real worship? Let's go to Romans chapter 12. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. Come on, Romans chapter 12. In the Bible, go to Romans chapter 12. Give me Romans chapter 12 with the Amplified Bible up there. Up right here. I'm gonna get the King James version here. Thank you, sir. It's the truth. Thank you, sir. I'm ready. Hallelujah! Aha! I'm ready. You really don't know me. I ask the Lord to expose, reveal, and remove anyone that's not right in this ministry. Yes, worship. Romans 12:1. Now, if you can't go through 1, 2, and 3, you're not a worshiper. He said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. What? Pop. Not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think what? According to what? Has what? No worshiper can worship or praise without Romans 12, 1 through 3. You got to die. I tell you, give God the glory. But let me tell you, to preach like I'm preaching, you got to die. You got to know your infirmities. You got to know your insufficiency. You got to know your dependency upon him. You got to give him the glory. You can't take the glory. It's God, only God, who deserves the glory. Can I hear somebody say amen? Amen. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you, in view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your body, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service. There it is. Notice it didn't say flesh worship, sensical worship, talented worship. It said spiritual. And spiritual is not spiritual until spiritual submit. If you can't submit to nobody, that means you ain't submittable. Romans 12, 1 through 3, in my notes says, is the only way real worship can be released. He must be honored at all costs, not bragging on how good you are. For, in my notes, I got my English badge, you know. For you are not. For without him, turn to John 15:5. Without him, you nothing. You nothing. Without him, you nothing. How many agree with that? Without Christ, you nothing. You got to come to that revelation by the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
What it says in John 15:5? For without me, what? I'm the vine, you're the branch. He that do me and bring it for much. Without me, what? Without me, what? Without me, what? Without me, what? Without me, you can do nothing. You might can sail a ship or fly a jet, but without me, when it comes in the spirit world, you can do nothing. Come on, I got to hurry, man. God will not permit man-made praise that has not come from the Holy Spirit instruction. God will not permit man-made praise that has not come from the instruction of the Holy Spirit. You listening? Grace praise has to be balanced with God's purpose. Grace praise has to be balanced with God's purpose. God's purpose is he want to lift his people. He want to edify his people into his presence to let them know they shall never walk alone. That he got his hand on them at all times. All right, I'm going to give you four or five apostolic releases, impartation to you. The Lord taught me that. He taught me in the ministers' conference that I had to give apostolic releases to free people up and to impart some things to them from the apostolic anointing. Worship opens spiritual eyes to who God is. When they start blowing the horn and beating the drums and playing the organs and the praises come, it should open our eyes to who God really is.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Huh?
Yeah. It's awesome.
That means we won't have, praises shouldn't have my turn. My turn? My mic. My mic. Poor preachers sometimes, preachers just sad, the choir just take over, the musicians just take over, just do what they want do. And he just come up there, you know, he a little rag, he just come up there. Yeah, all right. Scared they gonna leave. Man, I have two baboons and a goat sing here. I'm gonna preach, that don't make me no difference. What? And a giraffe playing the piano. I don't care, man, listen to me. I love people, I want, I know how it's supposed to go, but I ain't scared of nobody, boy. I'll hire me six more and let them swing through us singing Sweet Chariot. Worship, number two. Come on, I got to give this release right quick. Worship open our eyes to the truth of his word. That's what worship supposed to be doing. Worship supposed to be getting our eyes open, the word coming. The word coming, the word coming, the preacher coming, the word from God coming. I got to get out of the way. Some people go to church just for singing because it's full of emotion. These superstars, they go to church. Got churches that you find out the choir not coming, they're not coming. Now, the choir done been misplaced. The choir done got in place of the messenger. This church don't run like that. We don't roll like that yet. We worried people. Come on, let me see your hand. We worried people. We come to hear the word. You prepare and get out the way. worship expose the sinful nature of man and the lies of the enemy. Turn to 2 Corinthians with me. I got two, three more things I'm going to say. I'm closed. But y'all never say I didn't preach them the other day. Preach them, y'all. Come here to preach. I've been doing this thing for 40 years, man. I got some experience under my belt. I don't need no rookie telling me what to do. Where you come from, you going to tell me what to do, what I know and you know. How you going to, when you were still sucking tits. I was traveling all over the world. How you going to do that? How you going to tell me what to do, how to run this ministry? I got thousands of men and women under me all over the world. This has been paid for. Well, I'm a nice guy, but you don't want to mess with me. I'm nice, but I'm going to get straight. I'm a nice guy. You see, I like a little wimp sometimes. You know, I just say, how you doing? And don't rile me up. I'm a sleeping giant. I'm getting scared of myself here now. Finish, Lord. Everybody who have crossed me has failed. They will never be successful. Every person who crossed me, I'm just telling you, I need to tell this. Every person who crossed me, because I'm a good guy, I work with you. But every person who misused me and crossed me, I have seen their life fall. They never got off the ground. Touch not my anointed. Do my prophet. I can name person after person who I tried to help, and they come against me, and they go try to do something, and it'll never come to pass. Till they come back and say, I'm sorry. What are you talking about, Pat? I'm talking to you. I'm talking to everybody up in here. We need to get straight. We need to appreciate when God is blessing you. This don't just happen. It takes hours and hours and hours and hours. Second Corinthians 2:11. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. In the time of consecrated worship, the contrast between good and evil is exposed. See, worship changed the atmosphere, you see. Worship and praise unto God properly is powerful. Now, let me show you one scripture and I'll close. Turn to 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. And I'm closing here because this is so powerful. Worship is so, that's why we got to have instruction. Instruction is so important. Leadership is so important. Submission is so important. So something can be changed in you that the real gift can be taken out of you. Somebody needs to nurture your gift. Or your gift going to become a curse to you because it got to be nourished by somebody who know how to nourish a gift. Are going to become a curse to you because you never submit to nobody. You're always jumping and hopping and running because you want your own doggone way. Turn the second crown. I got to close.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Prophet come on the scene.
Come on,
every now and then a prophet got to come on the scene. This boy here in 2 Chronicles 20 had five armies come against him. He had prayed. He got to the place, said, God, I don't know what to do, but I got my eyes on you.
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
In verse 14, 2 Chronicles 20, 14, then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Matthiah, a Levite, the son of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. They got five armies coming against him. He prayed and didn't get an answer, all right? Now, God sent a prophet. And he said, verse 15, and he said, you with me? Y'all with me? Hearken ye all Judah, the prophet told, and inhabitant of Jerusalem, and thou king Jehoshaphat, thus said the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle. Ooh, glory to God. Anybody come here with something this morning? But the battle is not yours, but God. Now watch what he said. Watch what he said. I'm going to show you how powerful worship and praise can be if it's done right. Now who instructed this praise and worship set up? God through a prophet. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Zig. And you shall, tell them where they're coming at. Tell you where they're coming from. And you shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jezreel. You should not need to fight in this battle. Woo, glory. Set yourself. Stand you still. And see the, wow! And see the salvation of the Lord with you. Oh, Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not. Somebody got something going on here? Somebody got something going on that they need to deal with? Fear not. The battle not yours. Nor be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them. Go out against them. Go out against them. Good God Almighty. Go out against them. Go out against them. For the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face. It's a form of worship, see? To the ground, and all Judah bowed him with the body, and the inhabitant of Jerusalem fell before the Lord. What are you doing? Worshiping who? The Lord. And the Levite of the children of the Kohite and of the children of the Kohite stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. Anybody here?
Yeah.
I remember he got five armies. Now he had five armies against him. But the power of worship and praise at your house. When you don't know what to do at your house, lift both hands in the air and give glory to God. Lord, I don't know what to do. But I got my eyes on you. And I'm going to praise you until you give me an answer. I don't don't need a crowd to worship you. I don't need to be at church. I'm going to praise you right here in the bedroom. Till the glory come. When the glory come, it's all over with. Verse 20. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, you need some leadership." You need, if you're going to make it, you need some leadership. "Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established." But as somebody else, you got to believe his prophet, so shall you prosper. Now watch this. Now watch praise and worship. Watch what happened in real praise and worship. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed what? Singers unto the Lord. Singers to who?
The Lord.
And that should praise the beauty of holiness. As they went out before the army. They went before the army. The worshipers and the praisers went before the army. And they said, "Praise the Lord. For his mercy endures forever." And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushment against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah. And they were smitten. Now, I'm not going to stop here because there's a part I'd like to get to. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, uttered to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. They turned against one another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And watch verse 25. When worship is carried right, we're going to get the good. The glory going to fall in this place right. We're going to get the good. The enemy ain't going to be wiped out. And when Jehoshaphat had five armies against him, you remember that? You got something against you now? He had five armies against him. Looked like he was going to be taken. But after he praised and worship came out proper, believed the right thing. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewel, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. God have so much in store for the church. We just got to get this thing right, do it right, and we are going to receive more than we can carry away. Lift your hand and praise God. More than we can carry away. How many of y'all ready for that? More than you can carry away. Stand up in here. Stand up. Everybody need to be standing up. Lift your hand before God. Don't sit down when God's moving. Lift your hand before God. More than you can carry away. I pronounce that on everybody under the sound of my voice. From this day forward, your life is headed to more than you can carry. Do you receive that? God have things for you. God want to bless you. God have more for you than you can carry. Now today. This is the day. This is the day. Huh? You repent? Yes, ma'am. I'll receive your repent. This is the day. One of my choir members says she repents. She's a good girl. But she know what I'm talking about. She ain't never giving me no trouble. But they're more powerful. Y'all more powerful than y'all been. But it's been passed down the generation, all of this flesh stuff and all this good sound stuff. But we got to get in the presence of God. Don't care if you don't sound good. Just be in his presence. Some of the most powerful worshipers I know can't sing. They have no talent, no talent. I had one in Carolina. I had one in Baton Rouge. I had one in Texas. Couldn't sing a drop. But boy, I know y'all can do it. Leave your head bowed. You say to me, Pastor Thompson, I don't know Jesus. I mean, I'm not really born again.